Well, over the last few weeks, if you've been here or you've been here off and on, of course, we had Christmas, and then I've been on this talk about how quickly we progress from Christmas to Jesus being an adult. And we talked, we had Christmas, and then we talked about Jesus, of course, being a newborn baby. We talked about him being 8 days old when they took him to the temple. We talked about the wise men coming. We talked about Epiphany. I mentioned briefly, but didn't preach about him being in the temple at 10 or 12 years old when he was left there, and his parents thought that Mary and Joseph thought he was with them. Then we went to last week. It was John the Baptist. Who remembers what John the Baptist did to Jesus? Baptized Jesus. And then as soon as Jesus was baptized, he goes into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And some of you know who led Jesus into the wilderness? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So let's go to the scripture here. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. You ever seen The Passion of the Christ, the movie The Passion of the Christ? A lot of people thought that when Jesus went to the cross, the person who was playing Satan in that movie was there. And a lot of people objected to that because Scripture doesn't say specifically that Satan was at the cross. And Mel Gibson said that, who directed and with his own money financed The Passion of the Christ, said that when Satan left Jesus for a more opportune time, when is going to be a more opportune time than at the cross? I don't know, that just came to mind. And then the other thing that came to mind as I'm reading this is how well Satan knows Scripture. Isn't that funny? Satan's saying to Jesus, the Word says, the Scripture says, so I want to play you a little video here. It's an interview with Satan, if you can believe it.
Well, hello, Satan.
Grab your jaw. Every time.
Wish I could say it's good to see you, but I can't.
Feeling's mutual, so we're good.
Can we get rid of that cookie? You know we're fasting for one.
Do you want to go halfsies on this?
No.
You're fasting?
No.
I had no idea.
You know what I'm going to say to you?
I know, get thee behind me or something like that.
I was curious, when it comes to the church,
mm-hmm.
What's your strategy?
I'm growing to like the church, honestly. You know, they stay mad at each other half the time. They hate each other. They hate the rest of the world. So, I mean, I sit back and watch the fights like everybody else. You know what I'm talking about?
So you're pretty good at division in the church. How is it that you pull this off?
One of the easiest ways to make somebody just think that they're right, that they're completely and totally right. Another big thing, Bible versions. Everyone knows, myself included, King James is the only way to go. It's what I have in my personal library. I don't read it. I need to set the record straight on that. I don't read it. But you wouldn't see me reading one of those hippie versions of the Bible with street language, hip-hop, Jesus stuff. You give me a scenario, I can tell you how I can make somebody fight about it.
How about politics?
Politics, easy. Christians are all Republicans, Craig. We've known that from day one.
How about music?
Music. The music's too loud. Do I have five people singing? Can we really play secular music in the church?
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Come on! This is kids play here.
How about alcohol?
Okay, no Christians drink, except that, Jesus turned water into wine, which I was there. Most people think it was red. It was white then. It was, I didn't drink it, but I was there. Saw it.
How about entertainment?
Entertainment? Did you see what I did to Disney? I'm the king! I rest my case, Craig! I can't let the church be united. You've heard the saying, a kingdom divided against itself can't stand, or
yeah, whatever. It's in the Bible.
It's what? It's in the Bible? Wow, that's embarrassing. Can we... I'm sorry.
Satan, have you ever been to a church board meeting?
Absolutely. I go every Tuesday. If you've never seen a deacon just straight up cuss in the middle of church at another deacon, it's a sight to behold.
So what does it do to you when believers do come together?
Well, I don't know if you've ever been kicked out of a club when the club's just going off and there's a great DJ and drinks are half priced, but it's the same feeling, you know? As long as I can keep denominations talking about what makes them them, what they believe and what those other people believe. You know, they're not talking about the J guy.
Jesus.
Okay, so I'm going to warn you once. If you say that again, I'm going to leave. Because I, you know.
So when I say Jesus, you can't take it?
You know what? No, turn that corner off.
Okay. Hey, where are you going?
That's it.
Hey. Hey, Satan, you forgot your cookie.
Eat it, Craig.
Did you like that? I mean, the problem with that is we have this idea that Satan is this comedic character when there's nothing funny about him at all. Although if you laugh at him, that might tick him off. So today we're going to talk a little bit about temptation and Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. I don't very often start out with something with a funny joke, but this one's pretty funny. This husband was lying in bed one night next to his wife, who was sound asleep, and he nudges her and he wakes her up, and she says, "What is it? What's wrong?" And he said, "Honey, do you love me?" And she said, "Yes, I love you." And he said, "Well, I was thinking, if Nicolas Cage came to get you, would you still love me?" And she said, "Of course I would. I mean, I would miss you very much." Saint Augustine, and some people, if you've been to seminary, you might say Augustine. Saint Augustine said, "We don't know ourselves except by trial or temptation." Did you hear that? We don't know ourselves except by trial or temptation. Sometimes we think we're strong, we think we have principles, and it's not until trial or temptation comes that we find out really who we are. It reminds me of a sign I saw one time. It said, "Sports don't build character. Sports reveal your character." I heard a person say one time, it might have been downstairs last week at 9:30, David Tyree, who's a football player, who was a football player for the New York Giants, and he said, he got into drug problems, and he was in drug problems when he was in the NFL. And he said, he's a New York Giant who made a great catch in the Super Bowl in, I think, 2007. But he said, sometimes people think if you get rich, then all your troubles will go away. And he said, actually, when you get rich, it just accentuates your problems. Because if you've got a drug problem, when you get rich, you can afford more drugs. And so this temptation is when we're tempted, that's when our true character comes out. For Jesus, he was tempted basically by three things. We've got the picture there. Satan said, turn this rock into bread. He was tempted by his appetite. For Jesus, it was not eating food for 40 days. For you and me, we have appetites for all kinds of different things, don't we? I mean, we have appetites for food, but, you know, one of the things about church that atheists and non-church people believe about church is that you get a pastor, and I don't know, I think I've even seen surveys done. Now I remember what I was going to do for the children's message. Oh, well. I've seen surveys done, and so many people who are in the ministry do so because it's a way to have power. I've seen, and I don't know if you've ever, you may think that about me. So many people are, people view them as in the ministry. That's okay. Thanks for coming, Isaac. Hope you feel better. Happy birthday. That's a shame, isn't it? So, power. Like, who would want to be president? Anybody in here want to be president? What kind of ego would you have to want that job? I can't even imagine. Who would want to do it? And really, I think of the job as pastor sort of like that. Who would want to do that? I mean, I don't. And you're, does he feel okay? Okay. I was going to say, we may have to just call it now and everybody head out of here. There is something going around. So, Jesus, tempted by his appetite, he was tempted by materialism. I'll give you all this. He was tempted by false religion. When we use God for our own earthly purposes instead of being used by God for his purposes. So, I just have a two-point sermon today. My first point is, always expect attack. Always expect attack. Have you ever, most of you have flown. Is there anybody who hasn't ever been on an airplane? Wow, really? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Oh, have you been on an airplane? Okay. 5, 6. Next time we go on a mission trip, Chris, we're going to have to get you in an airplane. You go through airport security, and what are they, why are they so adamant about taking off your shoes? And I remember when, yes, hiding weapons. I remember when in 2010, Diane and I flew to Ghana in Africa, and we flew from Dayton, Ohio, which is where my seminary was. We flew from Dayton to Detroit, from Detroit to Amsterdam, and then from Amsterdam, we flew to Accra in Ghana. The Amsterdam to Accra, Ghana flight, does anybody remember, there's some of the underwear bomber, and you're going, really? Underwear bomber? There really was an underwear bomber, wasn't there? I don't know exactly. I can't remember exactly what happened. I'm not going to make any jokes about it either. We flew on the same... This was right before we flew, too. That was the flight that the underwear bomber was on from Amsterdam to Ghana in Africa. The one thing, no matter how you feel about going through airport security, they're expecting attack. They're on guard. When you leave your house, you didn't used to lock it, right? Who never used to lock their house? Just about everybody who's 50 years of age or older. I remember in 2000 or 2001, Diane and I went to Hawaii. And we were over there, I think we were there about 10 days total between everything. And we lived right along Route 2 in Friendly. And we went to Hawaii and left our house unlocked. Nobody was there. Yeah, the UPS guy had to get in. He would put stuff inside the door, close the door. My sister-in-law would drive by every morning and feed the cat, clean out the litter box. Do I need a key? No, it's unlocked. That was just 15 years ago. Now, on Facebook the other night, I saw that they thought somebody was out at the end of Dirtyfoot and where it meets Knobbly. They thought they saw somebody in an orange jumpsuit, and they thought it was a criminal or something. We keep our doors locked now, right? And if you don't raise your hand. And I won't raise mine either. Because we expect attack. It's the problem, it's one of the problems with the church now, is the church forgets that we need to expect attack. Whenever a church is doing anything good, you heard Satan, he never misses a meeting. Do you go to meetings? Oh, every Tuesday. When he said, if you never heard a deacon stand up and flat out cuss up out another deacon, it's a sight to behold. Satan tempts us with our way, right? It's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. The music's too loud. The preacher's sermons are too long. It's not what I want. Sorry, Ellie Mae. Someone said one time that the only thing that you don't have to teach a baby is greed. Do you have to teach a baby greed? No. They learn it right on their own. Even right now, is that, and then we just grow up and we never change. We want what we want. And Jesus, in the wilderness, Satan wanted Jesus to accept what he wanted. Wouldn't Jesus have wanted food? But Satan, everything that he tempts us with, it's counterfeit. Like, God is the real thing, and Satan offers the counterfeit. So that when we're tempted by, well, I've been really depressed lately. Well, let's go out and go to a party and let's go out drinking, or let's do something to make ourselves feel better. And it's all counterfeit. One, expect attack. When, I don't know, is Dr. Phil still on television? I don't watch Dr. Phil, but what's that? He never goes off. He's always on television. That's like Pawn Stars on the History Channel then. I remember seeing Dr. Phil one time, and of course this is on probably all kinds of shows. When you want to lose weight, he says, what's the first thing you have to do at your house when you want to lose weight? You have to get all the junk food out. You have to get rid of the Twinkies. You can't buy the Twinkies. If you've got kids in the house and you want to pack their lunch, they're going to have to eat applesauce. Because if you have Twinkies in the house, what's going to happen? You're going to eat them. The other day, Diane said, you ever know what cowtails are? The other day, Adam had this great big bag of cowtails that I think maybe he got for Christmas. And they were in his room. He never opened them. Well, a couple weeks ago, I opened them. And then, slowly but surely, I ate them all. Not at once. I'm diabetic, so I eat them gradually. And the bag was empty, and we threw the bag away, and I don't think Adam ate one of them. And I said to Diane, we're going to have to get Adam another bag of cowtails. And she said, does he want more? And I said, yes, he does. So she bought two bags, but they're very small. And last night, one of them got opened. And Adam didn't open it. Isn't it our life? Isn't it just our life? Is that we're, and what tempts you may not tempt me. But the general topics I think are the same. Our human appetite, materialism, and idols. And we're constantly under attack. And we'd better be prepared for it. And my second point today is about struggles. Yeah, I don't even think I'm going to talk about struggles today. I think I'm done. Does anybody else have anything? Yes? Body, soul, and spirit. I think I've heard that preached before. Yep, body, soul, and spirit. Anyone else? Mike Slaughter, I haven't listened to his sermons for a while, but I mention him pretty frequently. I spent a week with him. He's pastor of one of the top 10 largest United Methodist churches in the country in Ginghamsburg, Ohio, outside of Dayton. He always says in his sermons, he has this catchphrase that he always says. I don't think I have one. I try not to have one. He always says, am I talking to the right people? He says that all the time. Am I talking to the right people? And so I ask you today, when it comes to temptation, am I talking to the right people? And I know I am, because everybody's tempted. And there's only one thing that's going to satisfy, and it isn't a Coke. And it isn't a McDonald's cheeseburger. It's Jesus. That's it. Let me pray. God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this story that you have related to us through your word about temptation. I know that it's an issue that every one of us faces, and I pray that you would give us the power through your Spirit to resist temptation, to resist Satan in whatever forms they and he presents himself. Pray that you would help us to know that you are the only satisfaction, that you are, that you're what our soul longs for, and everything else is just a counterfeit type of satisfaction thrown at us by the enemy. So I pray for each of us that we would stand firm, that we would tell your adversary and ours to get behind us, and that we would fix our eyes on you. We give you thanks and praise for this day and this time together. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.